Welcome to the Gateway Podcast, where we get a chance to sit and talk to the outstanding professionals who serve in the 37 Training Wing. I get the privilege to host this podcast and serve as Warhawk Nation's Command Chief. So, without further delay, let's jump into it. As a reminder to all listeners, all topics discussed are unclassified, and the views expressed by our guests and hosts are not necessarily the position of the United States Air Force, the Department of Defense, or any government agency. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the Warhawk Podcast. For the next 81 days and about 20 hours, I get to be the Command Chief Master Sergeant of 37 Training Wing, which is always going to be exciting to me. When I'm on my deathbed and little robots are working on me and my great-great-great-grandchildren, because the modern technology is awesome and they made fake lungs and hearts for me, they're going to be playing on their PlayStation like 74 or something. I'm going to remember times like this. Me and Sergeant Wilson, we bonded because he was the former command chief for a day, and he got it. I said, hey, get some interesting people. And I was like, I got 81 days. Get me some interesting people. So he set this bar real high. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, give me some interesting CADM folks. So I'm going to turn it over for you to introduce yourself. No pressure, though. And then they're all pointing. You can't see it right now, but they're going to point on Sergeant Wilson. Sergeant Wilson, tell us where you're from, sir.
Staff Sergeant Wilson. I'm from Williston, Florida, about 15 minutes from Gainesville. So big time Gator fan.
The swamp?
Oh, yeah.
What happened to you guys?
What are you talking about?
Well, we used to be good.
What are you talking about?
Cam Ward.
We're in the Sweet 16 right now, sir.
Oh, you're basketball.
Football, too, and baseball.
He doesn't like to talk about football.
Did you guys make the I'm just asking. I'm not mocking you. I told you before the podcast started I was going to probably talk some smack, but were you guys in the playoffs this year?
No, we're in a rebuild season. We have DJ Lagway now, so we're coming back.
What about Cam Ward?
That's Miami. That doesn't equate with us.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
Different.
I don't want to talk about that game specifically.
Yeah.
Because it was not good.
Yeah, I'm a Raider fan. I was like, can we possibly get that guy? But probably not.
Literally mid-season is when we hit our stride.
So what do you got? What you going to record for the football that's going to be this year?
I'm going all in. Undefeated.
Undefeated.
I'm probably gonna get a lot of that, but
yeah, there's gonna be so many comments on the bottom of this right there. And he's like, undefeated.
It's all right. I do not like our coach, but the players we're gonna do something.
They're gonna overcome.
Okay, magic is gonna happen. Florida will be in the SEC championship this year. Put it down right now.
You have to be a dreamer. I'm proud of it.
That's a bold ambition. You grew up your entire life in Florida.
A whole life.
All right. Moving over to you, sir.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm Tech Sergeant Ginyard. I'm originally from Middletown, New York. I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I kind of did half in New York and half in Carolina. Yeah, that's me. I'm a big Steelers fan.
Whoa. We're all over the place here. We're on the map. We're going to start talking about sports right off the bat.
Yeah.
We are all over the map on this. Okay, so Middletown, New York, where is that by?
So that is about 45 minutes, maybe an hour west of the actual city. So there's a big mountain. You go across the George Washington Bridge, and then you go to
Newburgh?
Smaller, kind of near Newburgh, okay. Yes. North of Newburgh, though.
North of Newburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But not quite the Catskills or anything like that.
No.
Okay. Not way out there.
Yeah, not way out there.
And then you went to Charlotte.
North Carolina.
I'm a big fan of Charlotte.
Not at all.
We had me, my exec, and one of our first sergeants went out there and did a leadership engagement out there.
Okay.
And we were in Charlotte and we went to an amazing, amazing brewery. And I had the best pot pie I'd ever eaten in my life.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'll say pot pie. That's not the most exciting thing that you would possibly eat. But hey, was that pot pie good? That pot pie was really good. And the beer was delicious.
That's out there, sir. Pot pie. I was expecting like Bojangles or Cookout. You're like, I had great. And you went pot pie. I'm like, I lived there a long time never once thought about pot pie.
Everybody was in Korea. Everybody from North Carolina had a Bojangles patch on their jersey.
That's there.
And they got a Bojangles here now, too.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think it tastes the same?
It does. It slaps.
Does it?
I'm telling you, it tastes the same.
They don't have tenders, to my understanding.
They have tenders.
Then they don't have the chicken on the bone.
Don't have chicken on the bone. They have tenders.
Yeah, but people that are from the South, I don't consider myself from the South. I still say I'm from New York. But people that are from the Carolinas, they're like, it's not real Bojangles. There's not traditional chicken. It's just tenders. So they will denounce it every time.
I've only gotten the strips because my kid wanted strips, but I like bone-in chicken too. Mm-hmm. I sometimes I feel like I want to disown my kids when they like when we go to Wingstop and they say, I was like, what do you want? And then my son, I have a son who's going to college, lives with us right now, goes to UTSA. And every single time he looks at me and says, Wingstop, I just want to see him win his face. I want him to look me in the face when you say this. And he's like, I want lemon pepper boneless. And I'm like, weirdo.
Same accord.
Give me the flats.
I don't like tradition.
Yeah. Are you a flat? Okay, so before we just have to get to your introduction. I'm sorry. But are you a flats person? Before you can introduce yourself, are you flats or are you drumettes?
All flats. All flats. I will pay the extra dollar for the flats.
Yes.
For everything.
Who else is flats? Flats. My wife's a flat. Are you?
Boneless.
Oh, you're a weirdo. You're not allowed to talk the rest of the podcast now. Oh, my goodness.
Too much work to eat.
What?
You're seasoned chicken.
No, you're like taking. You're amazing. You're working to eat when you get traditional wings. Like you have to bite around the bone, and that's just too much. I'm just trying.
But it's like all the natural juices that come from the marrow or wherever the bone magic happens. That's where the magic happens.
That's not true. That's a myth.
That's not true, dude.
Are you married?
Yes.
Did you marry somebody who likes chicken wings? Mm-hmm. Do they like drumettes or are they a flats person?
My wife's. She's like back and forth.
Okay. So
most of the time she's for flats though.
Married?
Mm-hmm.
Spouse?
Yes.
What are they like?
They do both? Yeah.
This is the only reason our marriage has probably worked out as long as it has, is the fact that she's a flats and I'm a drumette. So, if Wingstop, I hope you're listening. The way the thing should be, and anytime I'm talking about Wings to Go, I'm talking about Famous Dave's Wings, I'm talking whatever wing spot you go to, Wing Daddy's, it should be an equal. If there's some like buffoonery going on back in the kitchen and there's like 14 flats and there's 10 drumettes.
The problem.
I'll eat the flats, but I'm going to complain about it probably. Not enough for you to spit in my food or anything, but I'm still going to be upset about that. So, ma'am, where are you from?
Hi, I'm Sergeant Baker. I'm from a small town called London, Kentucky, Southeast Kentucky.
Loudoun or London?
London.
Kentucky.
Yes.
Is that close to the Bourbon Trail?
No.
Okay.
That's about.
You had to think about it too. North. You were like, your eyeballs went right up. You're like, let me process.
It's like
this.
An hour north.
Okay. Okay. Why did everyone join? You get to go first now because we put you on ice for so long.
To get out of Kentucky.
To get out of Kentucky.
To get out of Kentucky and schooling.
Okay. So you got your degree?
I have my CCAF. Started my bachelor's May 12th.
Good. There you go. Mm-hmm. Get it. Because I was going to mock you if you weren't. I do that. And again, as a chief, it's all in good fun. It's all in good jest. Cool. But what I am looking for is like, when it's like, hey, follow those dreams. If you're saying you're going to do something, I'm a big fan of following through. So good on you. Good on you for continuing your education. It's not about checking a box. I said it earlier today about like robots working on you. Mm-hmm. When it's all said and done and you're getting ready to take that last breath, there's two things. And throughout your life, from the time right now to the time you take your last breath, there's two things that can never, ever be taken away from you. And that's your experiences and your education. Mm. And if you get your education, that's why people are like, oh, I'm just trying to go to school to get a degree because I got to check this box. I'm like, you're missing the point. Go to whatever it is. And if you're a basket weaver and you want to learn about basket weaving, you want to be the best basket weaver of all time, I think everybody gets, I always feel like everybody ends up being a psych major after they take their psychology 101 course. Is that you? Oh, no, she's laughing right now. Because everyone's like, oh, I'm going to be a psych person now. What about you? Why'd you join?
My dad was an army brat, did not like school. So he was like, do you want to get paid and move out the house real quick? And I was like, yeah. He was like, join the Air Force. So in the sixth grade, I made the decision to commit to the United States Air Force. Joined that right out of high school and then jumped right into college because I'm a glutton for punishment. So.
And that's so funny that everybody joins the Air Force. They're like, I didn't like school. I hear that quite a bit. Yep. Obviously we have basic training here. We have tech school. And I don't want to go to school. I'm like, man, you joined the wrong branch. Because I go to the Marine Corps. I've been embedded with the Marines, the Army, and the Coast Guard. And they always say the same thing. They're like, you mean to tell me that you have a community college of the United States Air Force? I was like, bet. So I'm looking at, I was like, as a matter of fact, I'm looking at three instructors this right now that, you have to be CCAF accredited to teach stuff, right? Like for the most part, those are the type of things that we have. The other branches, I think, I won't say they're envious, but like that they're like, wow, that's pretty cool. You can get a CCAF degree. And then anybody, I want to punch in the face. If anybody says, hey, it's just a CCAF, I will literally throw punch you in your esophagus to the back of your neck. because that minimizes the work that I put in. I was like, you know what?
True.
I have three CCFs. I'm damn proud of them CCFs.
Sheesh.
And the Air Force is like, the Air Force, you know what? When I get out, I have three more than most people. So, you know, so, hey, it's more than you got. So good on you for going to school. What's your degree going to be in?
I just finished my bachelor's in criminal justice.
Man, you are on it too. He got, let me tell you about his Air Visor tab where he got right now. I got a Raven tab. In your CATM?
Yes, sir. Stuff.
What does CATM stand for?
Combat Arms Training and Maintenance.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you are. Are you gonna go to law school too?
No.
You're gonna run the whole gambit. You're gonna be from defender to prosecutor.
Absolutely not. My wife is a paralegal, so we got it in the household. We got law and criminal justice.
Law and order. Dun dun.
Yep. No lawyer for me though. Can't get into it too much.
Are you gonna keep going? Are you gonna keep pursuing that education? Or are you taking a break right now?
Definitely taking a break right now. But my supervisor is he's going for his doctorate, and when I met him, he was like, "Why not?" And I was like, "You know what? Why not?" So I probably will pursue my master's, but I think I'm going to switch it and go to education because I like teaching.
The first defender I've ever met that from the enlisted side, a junior enlisted side, was Ebony Briscoe Jenkins. I don't even know. Can I say their name? I'm allowed to? I'm looking at my producer. Ebony Briscoe Jenkins was a defender in when I was stationed in Cape Cod. She got her doctorates when we were there. And you know how dumb I felt? I was like, my goodness. I was like, I need to step my game up. I was like, I was a first sergeant at the time. And I was just about to wrap up my bachelor's, but she had a doctor's degree. I'm like, man, what am I doing with my life? And I love surrounding my people. So you guys like to surround yourself with people like that? It's like, man, that's going to push you to go further in life.
You need to do that though.
Yeah, literally.
You do.
I feel like if you're around people that are static, you're going to become static.
100%.
That's like one of my biggest fears.
Is that what, being static?
Yes.
That and drowning?
I'm not really worried about drowning.
What about getting bit by snakes?
Not worried about that.
He's from Florida.
He's terrified of getting bit by snakes.
Me? Snakes don't do it.
What do you, when you're out there shooting?
We're combat arms.
But you're out there. I mean, those suckers can come right up on you. Oh, they're
pointing at each other.
Oh, what happened? You guys got a snake
bitch? He's our snake wrangler on the range.
You got a lot of snakes out there.
Yes.
Rattlesnakes?
Yep.
So, oh no. Yeah, maybe not.
I don't touch the rattlesnakes.
What do you do with them?
Nothing.
You just call an endo out?
We have to call,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So yesterday, coming back.
Steve Irwin.
Are you like, you're making YouTube videos out there with it? Combat Arms says.
Crikey.
Crikey.
Pest control.
Oh, man.
Cut this.
I would not want to see some of the students that, you know, like, especially if a snake rolled up on, like, there's people. I'm not terrified of snakes, but I'm terrified if I'm at a disadvantage and a snake shows up. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be surprised. A snake that, like, is in a cage, and then we used to have a snake. My son had a snake, which means my wife had a snake because she ended up taking care of this thing named Taco. Good job, son. But I just don't want to be surprised by the snakes. You ever had one of them roll up on a student?
We've had them pretty close. Like, you've been over the range. Walking on the sidewalk, like, where the students have put their backpacks, they've, like, set backpacks down, and then we're like, there's a rattlesnake right there.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Majority of the time, we just leave them alone because rattlesnakes are good. But
the other ones? Yeah. I don't... man, I'm paranoid. We live on base. And yesterday we had a javelina in the front yard, and I'm talking about, this sucker was big, and I run with my little dog Sancho, and you know, he puts some miles with me and my next door neighbor, who's command chief for the 59th medical wing. We're walking back from the gym because we just happened to work at the same time, and then he's like, is that a pig? And I'm like, that is a javelina. I think that's what they call them. But it was gigantic. We have coyotes, foxes out there. We have really cute fox out there. Oh man, should I tell my story about the raccoon? You got raccoons out there?
Oh yeah, we have everything over there on Chapmanics.
Everything.
Everything. We have huge boar hogs.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah. Those things, I had no idea how they're, and my dog's only like 38, 40 pounds.
We probably got a 200.
Yeah, right, we have a boar hog that's probably hip high.
No way.
When it comes out at nighttime.
He's huge.
Yeah, that's what I've only seen the javelinas or the pig. What are they called? Are they called javelinas?
So javelinas, and then there's pigs. You're like speaking my language right now.
Because I thought we call them javelinas.
There's a subspecies.
Okay. You ever watch those videos? No, maybe I should not go there.
We can open a can.
Sorry, Wilson's our resident outdoorsman.
I'm like the legitimate Florida man minus the felonies.
Minus the felonies
and drugs.
And drugs, yeah. You have to preface that one.
Man. So that's why you're out there wrangling. You guys have the epidemic out there too with all the pythons and constrictors that the people just leave. You never heard that? You guys ever heard that?
In Florida, yes.
Oh, in Florida, yes. Yeah. I thought you were talking about out at the range. I said, what?
No, in Florida, all the house pets, and they've become an invasive species.
Mm-hmm. They hunt them out there, if I'm not mistaken.
They do. I'm a little bit more north than that though.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about
Orlando?
Man, we went way off track for a second. These things will go like this, and that's the point of the podcast. Again, the point of this podcast is just sharing stories and just talking about like just the normalness of what we all have in common. We all have our own stories. We all have our own reasons. We have all the things. And I get the chance to just sit and talk and have a good conversation. It's probably the best part of my week is just to sit and have conversations and hear you. So why did you join, Sergeant Wilson?
So my dad was in the Air Force way before I was born, right? He went to Interlick and then he went to Peterson and then got buck sergeant and then got out, became a construction worker. And then growing up, if you asked my mom or my dad, they're like, he's going to do something in the military. Don't know what branch, but I was more or less destined. And it was just more or less just almost driven there.
So sixth grade, about what time? When did you feel like this is the Air Force? This is it. Oh. Is it before recruiter, after recruiter?
Oh, before recruiter. But like growing up, it was either military, construction, or farming. That was like the three things I was going to do. And then probably middle school, I was more or less like locked in on construction or farming. Did a little bit of that. Graduated high school, went to college for a semester. And then that fell through. And I was like, I've pretty much done everything I can do in my hometown, right? And then stuff happened with my dad. My dad had a stroke. So then like huge family ordeal happened. I was like, I need to do something with my life. I'm not going to college right now. And then my mom was like, well, why don't you just talk to a recruiter, go out, do something. And originally I was trying to do the whole pipeline stuff, special tactics, all that. And then that fell through. And my recruiter, I was going to go in for security forces, firefighting, or try and do something in special operations. And my recruiter was like, hey, I can do firefighting. And I was like, let's do it. And then like 3-4 weeks went by, I was in the dep. And he's like, hey, we're going to have to like project you out more. You're probably not going to go firefighting in the time that we're thinking of. He's like, but you've seen the cool videos.
Oh, I have something for you.
Aerosol, you know? And he was like, if you do this, we can leave next week. And I was like, let's do it. Like already had a going away party and everything. And then he was like, you're not leaving. So instead of having a whole nother going away party with all my friends, I was like, put me on the bus. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
So middle school-ish. High schoolish is when you started
a little
like,
bit after.
Yeah, like this is where I'm gonna start to go. But you had the feeling.
Oh, the whole life, like the
whole life had the
airsoft feeling. Dude, yeah. Running around outdoor in ghillie suits and stuff like that.
Do you still have those ghillie suits?
I have new ghillie suits.
What about you? When did you like, hey, I'm gonna join? Is this a later in life, a beginning of life, midlife?
I literally graduated high school like maybe like 6 days, and I was already in BMT.
You were like, I'm in. Like, I'm out of here. I got goals in life.
I gotta go. I've got to get out of here. But no, my uncle, he's cyber. He's over there at Buckley right now. And then my grandfather was also in the Air Force as well. So I was like, you know what? I need to get out of here. And this is the quickest way to go.
This is it.
This is it.
You ever go back hometown though? You kind of miss it?
No.
You don't miss your hometown at all?
No way.
Nothing? So, no, not like the Bojangles? There's not like
that
something?
That was actually my first job. I was 15. I worked at Bojangles.
I thought Bojangles was North Carolina. So Florida?
Georgia. The only reason I knew about Bojangles is when we would have a hunting lease in Georgia and we would go to Georgia. Florida is strictly like Zaxby's.
Yeah.
Oh, I do like Zaxby's though.
Not here though.
Yeah. No, the Zaxby's here isn't bad. Get the Cobb salad. No way.
Cobb salad
is good, dude. Relax.
Yeah, that's weird. I was like, you just seen the producer almost came out of his chair when he talked about Zaxby's. He's like, nah, man, there's a Zaxby's here right now. I'll show you exactly where it's at. Where's it at?
Alamo Ring. Is it?
That was your first job, though?
Yeah, I was 15 when I started working there. All the way up till 18.
Did you have bone-in chicken at your Bojangles?
Yes, we did.
Real Bojangles.
Cajun and non-Cajun.
Okay. She's turning red. She's already red. But what did I tell you was my favorite job literally in my entire life?
KFC.
I worked at KFC in high school. And I will tell you that was maybe because I just worked with my friends. Did you work with your friends when you were at Bojangles?
No, they were like 40 years old, but it was still good.
That's, you had to get out of the hometown. So Bojangles, I can't even keep a straight face now. But that is awesome though. Because I like, for me, what was your high school job? So you got anybody have a high school job besides?
Oh, I had multiple.
Many. Yeah.
Because you were farming at that time. I was chucking hay bales.
Yeah. So like farming, mostly like peanuts, which is like.
That's right. We had a whole conversation a while about peanuts.
So like my uncle has a big farm. So I grew up farming. And then my dad had a construction company. So it was like always on heavy machinery. Then I worked at Gander Mountain, which is like a knockoff Bass Pro. And then at my high school, one of my friend's dad had a knife shop. So I worked in a knife shop too. So like
Jesus.
Multifaceted, I guess.
What was your high school? You better have a cool high school job.
Prior to turning 21, I was what was referred to as a sneakerhead.
Oh.
I worked at what's called Jimmy Jazz. It is like the shoe palace of the East. And I worked at BT's Burger Joint. And I was a manager at Hat Shack. All in my senior year, I did all three jobs.
What's a Hat Shack? Is that like a lid?
It's a miniature lid. So it's like a smaller one, not as like little as a kiosk, but not as big as like a lid.
Okay. Because I look at lids and think it's relatively small.
Mm-hmm.
So sneakerhead.
Yeah.
You said, are you reformed or are you still in?
I'm a big gun guy now, so I don't want to say I'm fully reformed. There's a couple of sneakers that'll come out.
Hit the plug.
Yeah. There's a couple of sneakers that'll come out, and I'm like, okay, I need these. The Kevin Durant's, his Aunt Pearls, they're all pink. They came out, and I saw them, so I was like, swipe, I need them. But
how many sneakers you got?
Right now? Probably 40 pairs.
Damn.
When I joined, I had 72 pairs. So my first base going to Interlake, the first question I had was like, hey, how do I get these over here? And right at a tech school, they were like, you don't. They're like, TMO's not moving them.
I just got off the phone with TMO, as a matter of fact, today. They're like, hey, I got to get three shipments and all these things. And you're like, but you know what? That's what it's now. You guys got rank. You got a tech sergeant. Man, you can send all the shoes you want now. Well, you can have another couple thousand pounds of shoes if you need.
Got traded out for guns.
With dependents?
Hello. Give me I'm going to Japan, so you can't bring no guns to Japan.
Nope. No. That's why I'm happy I'm in storage. The great state of Texas, because I came from Travis. And
hey, you better not say anything bad about California.
Listen. Ooh. Love
Wait, we're going to have to watch them call. We'll probably edit that part of out. Yeah. That's it. I demand editing in that. But I get it. Like my previous exec, her husband, and I just went shooting with him last weekend. He has a lot of great weapons. And he's not too fond about getting stationed if Travis. I was like, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. Yeah.
For guns, it's so weirdly enough, I competition shoot as well.
Oh,
when I got out there, I was like, I went to a competition. I'm like, hey, do I have to have 10 round mags? I have my Leosa, so I can carry in all 50 states. But I was like, do I have to have 10 round mags? And like, there's certain parts of California
that
they're like, no, we're full on. You can shoot here. So I did get to still compete out there, which was nice. Didn't get to do much rifle stuff. That sucked, but I was only out there for 3 years. So I went from guns to jiu-jitsu out there and built a nice passion doing that as well. So
how long are you at Travis?
3 years on the dot. I literally left on my third year. I used my wife's BOP to get out of there.
And your wife said is a paralegal?
Yes.
And you BOP'd here?
Yes.
What other bases y'all been at? What bases? We'll start off with you.
My first base was Osan, Korea.
Ooh.
Then I went to Hickam for 3 years.
Okay.
And then I went to Kunsan.
Home of the Wolf Pack.
Yes.
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 Not the Mustangs.
Not the Mustangs. And now I'm here.
What? When were you? Were we at?
I seen you. I don't know if I'm going to say this, but the first impression I ever had was a wing all call, right?
Uh-oh, hold on. We may have to edit this.
But we're all just like sitting there because you know how big the theater is, right?
Yep.
So we're all just sitting there and then they're like, and then he's like, here's my counterpart, Chief. Chief comes in. Dude's sitting right here. If you're sleeping, stand up in the back. I said, the whole room got silent. It was like.
That wasn't me. That was somebody else.
I was like, yo.
Hey, but that's my boss. I was like, my boss, you remember Colonel Jeffress was my boss. My wolf was Colonel Jeffress, one of the greatest human beings I've ever had to work for. Mm-hmm. And his stories were always like, he's just a legit, even North Carolina too. Big fisherman and all that stuff and big old running back. So he has a story about the University of Miami. He like, you may not have heard it, but every other like in process and we did, he talked about it. So shout out to Colonel Jeffress, who was a part of the United States Air Force Academy football team that beat the University of Miami, commonly referred to as the U, and he was the running back. Yeah. And if you looked at him, right, did he not look like a running back?
Yeah.
I mean, he's built like, he's about an inch and a half taller than me, but about 17 to 18 inches wider, and not in a like a chunky way. I mean, he is just a pure athlete.
Dog. A unit, baby.
Yeah, that's what like, that's what's weird. And though my last three gigs, I get the awesome opportunity to work with Colonel Cooper. And if you guys have met Colonel Cooper, he's all the press on him is, as long as it's good press, is legit. He's a ball player. And then Colonel Corshane, who's now working in the Pentagon, she played ball in college too. And then he was a running back. And before I had for the tight end in the Air Force Academy. So, and I'm the new general I'm going to go work for. I'm not quite sure. I got to check his resume and see if he's a baseball player or something. I don't know. I got to round it out. Maybe a volleyball player.
Got a golfer.
Yeah, but maybe I did because that really hurt. I really get someone under my skin. Ooh, I was aggressive though too.
Yeah, no, you were cool. I was just saying that was like my first like ever. That was like the first thing I ever heard you like speak or anything. I was like, whoa, you got business. And then you had your little slideshow. You were in Antarctica and all this. Yeah. And I was like, oh, it's cool.
Yeah. I still use that slideshow. I talk about my kids and which ones I like and I don't like.
I don't remember, but I do remember Antarctica because I was like, that's cool.
Yeah, you don't fall asleep. I'm like, you better go stand up in the back. Oh, okay. So you've had some really good assignments though. Mm-hmm. So a lot of PACAF time.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. PACAF was nice.
How long? So you've only been here for less than 18 months then?
Yes, only a year.
Okay. How do you like the job so far?
I like it a lot. I actually became combat arms here. So I got ordered.
Oh, you were on flight there?
No. So I got.
Whoa. Why are you laughing? Like, what happened? You get in trouble?
No. So I got orders out of Kunsland to Lackland. And I was like, all right, okay, cool. Like, I wanted, it was my number one pick. So I got orders to Lackland. And I show up to the combat arms shop over there because it was 37 Tris. And they were like, hey, so here's the schedule. I'm like, hold on. I'm a straight leg. They said, what? I said, I'm a straight leg. They said, okay.
So, got him.
So then I go to speak with Colonel Leverett, and he was saying, hey, you either got to go to the 802nd or you got to go to the CAC. Which one do you want to do? And that's the Combat Arms Tech School. So I'm like, Combat Arms Tech School. Now I'm here.
And now you're here.
And now I'm here.
Man. So you've been on flight the first part of your career then?
Oh, yeah. Flight all.
All flight. What about you?
Nope.
Yeah, I know. He said that and he said nope. And if you guys saw it, he kind of flashed me his shoulder and he's like, check this out.
Watch this. I was at Incirlik Air Base, Turkey. Got there. The job was okay. Then I went to the armory, worked the armory for 10 months. Got to talk to the CADM guys. I was like, that job sounds amazing. PCS to Charleston. And I submitted my package as an A1C to go CADM because I was like, this is what I want to do. I was at Charleston for 5 years. I ended up going to SWAT school out there. After SWAT school, I was like, you know what? I want to go Raven just because you can't do it at any other bases. Let me take the opportunity.
You can do it at every AMC base.
Yep.
To include McCord, to include Little Rock.
Kind of can, you know, if you get through it, that's the biggest thing. But getting into an AMC base as a cop is, you know, here or there. It's like, hey, have you been to AMC base?
Nope.
Have
you? So
really cool. Yeah. Raven mission. I used to fly with Ravens also. Yeah,
it's fun. It's an opportunity that in the career field, we have our opinions about it, but it's a good opportunity if you get the chance to take it.
Absolutely.
And then I actually got PCS to Travis as a Raven when my wife finished her tech school. Didn't want to go to Travis. We had orders to Keesler, but we were not joint spouse. So I had called AFPC and they're like, okay, we can only send you to Travis. I am processed there and they're like, hey, you report to the Raven section. And I was like, whoa, it's kind of same thing with Baker. It's like, time out. I'm CADM. And they were like, what? I was like, yeah. They're like, but you're Raven. And I was like, yeah, but CADM out Trump. It trumps the Raven tab because it's an actual AFSC. So then I went in a section there and I flew some missions over there as well. So kind of got to do both.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Which Raven number?
2903.
Yes, sir. Oh, see, look at that too.
Yep.
Yeah, nailed it. You have a tattoo on you?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Don't tempt him.
Yeah, that's what I was like. He's that. That's it. That's a good idea.
I have it in Spanish at different parts of my body, so it's just no. I don't have it tattooed on me.
I was at Ellsworth Air Force Base in South Dakota.
That's a hidden gem.
It is a hidden gem. I hated it while I was there. Couldn't stand it because we're just geologically located away from everything. The Rapid City's not big. You can do everything in like your first week there. You can only go to Mount Rushmore so many times.
But it's beautiful. The camping out there, the fishing out there, and especially
summer. I did everything you could do out there. I did all the hunting and the fishing, the snowboarding. I was there for, I literally hit my 2-year mark after being in there. I was on the Global Strike Challenge team. So I was doing tactics and stuff like that. Was going to get sent to ADM, and then, which is just Advanced Designated Marksman. And my flight chief was originally CADM. He was on flight because he became master. And then they ended up pushing him back to CADM. And he's like, Willie, you need to just either go in the armory or come CADM. I was like, nah, I don't want to go CADM. I'm going to put in for the armory. And my chief at the time was like, you're either going CADM or you're staying on flight. And I was like, I'll put in for CADM. You got it, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Exactly. So came here for the combat arms course, sewed on senior airman the first day or the second day. The first day, like A1C Wilson's like, here. The next day, like senior airman Wilson. And I'm like, I'm right here.
See these stripes.
Yeah. Went back, did the gig there, did a lot of cool stuff, a lot of machine gun firing, worked with EOD for a lot of different things. Their bomb depot was in our compound.
Yep.
So I'd be in the middle of teaching you. Don't worry. They're just setting off a bomb. Everyone's like, huh?
Just kidding.
Yeah. Was there from 16 to 19. Went to Kadena.
That's where we met. Yeah.
Exactly. That's where we met. Love Kadena. Only bad thing about Kadena was COVID.
Oh, man, COVID ruined that. That 2-year stretch was terrible. We were there before COVID and after COVID.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, so, like, the first 5 months I was there, me and the wife went to Tokyo. We did Tokyo Disney, did all that stuff.
You do Universal Studios?
We didn't. We didn't have time.
That's cool. Even the Mario, everyone gets that stupid Mario hat, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
Can't go back.
We did that, and then... while I was the CADM there, I got to do flyaway security. Raven flyaway, what?
Diet Raven.
Diet Raven,
pretty much.
You guys are brutal to each other.
Well, we work in the same section, so he's my supervisor. So
no, I'm talking about as an AFSC, because I'm going to jump into that here in a second, too.
Mm-hmm. But then, went on TDYs to India. I was in India for when Donald Trump did the presidential thing in New Delhi.
Mm-hmm.
Went there, flew into Thailand. The plane broke, quotation, in Thailand. We were there for 2 weeks.
What do you got, Utapau?
Pattaya.
Yeah.
Hanging out there. Got to see like that aspect of security forces. That was really cool. And then came back, did the CADM gig. Got to work with Special Operations, Army Green Berets, the 320 STS, and the Rescue Squadron. So got to do a lot of cool stuff with those guys. And now we're back in Lackland. Had 2 kids while we were there, so
yeah,
it's all good.
So this is one of the things that for any listener out there, now this is 3 CADM professionals by way of, they all came in straight leg defenders. One of the things that get on my nerves, so this is a shout out to like the folks that we have here. We got Chief Wes Lawrence. We got Chief Joe Kimbrough over there running the Security Forces Center. Shout out to Shonda Conger over there. We're in the 802nd. We got Chief DC over there in the IMSC. We have Chief Ronnie Woods coming in there. Chief Will Kelly over there, the Special Warfare Training Wing. I already said Wes Lawrence. We have... And I was like, those are friends. Those are they're fellow chiefs. Some of them fellow command chiefs, but we're all chiefs. But one of my closest friends in the world is Chief Corshay Cam, which is the command chief over in McCord, where I was with the defenders when I first got my first taste of what it's like to be in a defender squadron. So where am I going with this? Is if you talk to you hear their stories and you hear some of the things that the 3 people in front of me just were talking about. One of the things that gets on my nerves, because here in the 37 training wing, we have the 343, and then you're going to be a defender, or you're going to be a cop, or you're going to be this, you're going to be that. And then they, you know, and it has some negative connotation. That is one of the biggest things that set me off and pissed me off, like really upset me, because Chad Bickley, he's the 8 Education Training Command. He's been on the podcast before. He's a defender and he loves it. And look at all the experiences that y'all just had. Listen to all those bases. Listen to the things that Sergeant Wilson just said. Listen to things that we talk about Ravens now. We're talking about flyaways. We're talking about getting a chance, going to India, going out there and supporting the President of the United States and their mission sets. There's so much more but you can't sit on your hands. That's the thing too. It's like, you know, the most miserable people, to your point, Sergeant Wilson, is like you surround yourself with those, the suck people, and they'll suck all that out of you. How do you all avoid that? How do you avoid like falling into those pitfalls? Well, you got any tactics, techniques, and procedures to get away from the suck people?
Like literally, like you were saying earlier, just surround yourself with positive people, because that's the only way. Like in security forces, there's going to be negative people at work. There's no way around it. So you just avoid them. I mean, I still talk to them, but it's like
not in your inner circle, yeah, per se.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's hard. I'm a very extroverted person. I like opportunities. So even like we were talking, how me and him are joking around, there's people always bash on Raven. They bash on Catum. They bash on anything that's looked at as, in quotation marks, elite in security forces, or, you know, not just patrol or the gate that people rag on. And it's because it's the suck people. They just don't want to see anybody go further, and it's extra. So my whole career, I've been like, you know what? I'm going to do that stuff, because at some point in time, it's going to either open an opportunity for me, open a chance to meet other people, or just be something that I want to do. Like Catum was something I wanted to do. Raven was an opportunity. So I kind of just jump on all those and, kind of like they said, stay around positive people.
Yep.
It's kind of cool, because just yesterday I was talking to like 50 holdover airmen that just graduated BMT. They're waiting to get orders to a tech school. And so they brought four of us in there to just talk to them.
Yeah.
And like just talking to them and be like, hey, don't just be doing nothing. Always have your hand in something, right? Like even if it's something super small, right? Not even related to career field. It's just something that can build that toolbox. Right. I even myself, I've been there and I'm like, I just want to do Catum stuff. I don't want to do this stuff. And then I've done that for so long. And then you're like, I'm not making rank. I'm getting overseen by other things. And you just have to always be doing something.
And that's what, like, I think it's the evolution of life again, because the experience is the more you do, the more, like, I always thought, you know, when I first joined the Air Force, it was somewhat, I hate to say it like that. And I grew up on the flight line. I grew up like getting my, you know, my teeth kicked in, holding flashlights. It's kind of like when you duel for your uncles and they're yelling at you. If I hold that flashlight exactly where I'm looking for, I smack you. So for, you know, the Air Force, maybe a little kind of different. Maybe the 90s, it was not so different, but, you know, as you're going through it, I just wanted the experiences. I wanted that. I always hunger for that. And then the experience comes with being around, I'm a natural extrovert as well. You know, like some people are introvert, extrovert. I'm like you.
Yeah.
I like to be out. I like to be around people. I enjoy people. I get recharged by people. Mm-hmm. And then to your point, as we go out there and we're surrounding ourselves with those positive people, ultimately, I think that bleeds over. And that's what I think what makes good supervisors, in my opinion, is the people who can get along with other people. And it's like, I always see if like the ruinous nature of supervisors, first sergeants, chiefs, commanding officers, especially those in leader, like what we consider the primary leadership positions, flight chiefs, section chiefs, operations superintendents. When you go in there and you're like, all right, well, can you get along with other people? Because every bridge that I burn is a bridge for you. Mm-hmm. It's if I can't get along, if I'm just over there telling people to get up out of their chair because they're sleeping all the time, it's probably not going to do me well. You know, do I need to do it at times? Yeah. Do I got to put foot to butt sometimes? Of course. Yeah, we all do. But ultimately, it doesn't help us out. But that's some of the things I think would make good leadership characteristics in supervisors. For you out your career, not the negative side of the house, what's the positive side of the house? Let's focus on that good. What are some of the best supervisor characteristics and traits that you've seen out there? They're just like, man, this is good. I'll start off with you.
I want to give a shout out to my last supervisor, Tech Sergeant Grable out of Travis. He came into the shop. He was a tech select. I was a staff, hungry to make tech because I felt like I put in the work. And he was like, you have the work drive, but you don't have the right lane. And he pushed me and opened my eyes to seeing things that I didn't see. In security forces, we are subject matter experts at our job. It's just the nature of it. They push you so hard to learn your job, but the Air Force side of it, we don't see. Mm-hmm. So he came in and opened my eyes to that. And with him doing that, it did help me promote to tech. So I think one of the best supervisor traits I've seen was pushing his troops to get what they wanted, you know, taking the ACA seriously and showing them like, hey, this is what you need to see because this is what you're missing. You're going to be great at your job. Anybody that wants to promote, that's like a given, but these are the other things you need. So being able to push your troops and not burn them out, I think is a really good trait to have as a supervisor.
I'm going to shout out my wife.
Okay.
Vanessa Wilson, paralegal. Nope. We met in South Dakota. We were both on flight at the time, met, hung out, ended up getting married. The entire time in my whole career, she's just been pushing me. When I was putting in to go Combat Arms, we weren't married yet. She's like, do it. Became Combat Arms. She was deployed when we got orders to Kadena. And I was like, first person to call, boom. She didn't answer because she was in Kenya, but she's just been pushing me the entire time. And she's an awesome mom. She's an excellent leader in her job. She was security forces, retrained. Then it was like me pushing her, go, made rank. Now she's a tech sergeant, hopefully making master next year. Let's go. But the entire time, she's literally been there since my first year in the Air Force. And she's just been pushing me the whole time.
Foot to butt. Awesome. And then obviously the positive side of the house as well. Mm-hmm. But you, ma'am, what makes a good supervisor?
I think having those hard conversations, because like he said, he doesn't want to be stagnant, right? Like Wilson said. And let's say I want to pursue an opportunity in our job, whether it be like a different section or something. Maybe it's not best set up for me to achieve that, to make the next rank or whatever the case may be. So just having those hard conversations.
So you said something I want to key on. We get real wrapped up around rank sometimes, and that's part of it. This is a rank and file organization. Like, we are the Department of Defense. We are in the military. Those standards, the things that we do are based on rank and file. But when I say you get wrapped around the axle about it sometimes, a lot of people don't understand their influence at times. They're like, you want something that makes me upset. We're like, well, you're going to be defender. You're going to be weak. When people negative talk things, that's just one of the things esophagus pushing in. You said a tech sergeant inspired you. Mm-hmm. Not a chief, not a colonel, not a general. A tech sergeant inspired you. And I feel the same way, because the most inspirational person in my entire military career was a senior airman that like opened my eyes. And to your point, held me accountable, wrote me my first LOC and my first LOR, and actually held me to the fire. It's like, you got it. I got it. You have this chip on your shoulder. You're a city kid, blah, blah, blah. Now you're stuck in Spokane. Well, I felt like I was stuck in Spokane, Washington. Go out there to Hoop Fest. Go out there to Bloomsday. Go out there to Pig Out in the Park. Go out there and experience Spokane. Otherwise, shut up, because all you're doing is hanging out in your dorm room and hanging around the same cats. Mm-hmm. And by the way, here's your LOC. And I'm like, those things, it was there. But then at the most pivotal point of, like, at that time in my life is when my son was sick. He was the first one to bring me Taco Bell and Carl's Jr. By then my wife was stuck in the hospital. She couldn't see the baby. The baby's in the NICU. But my senior airman supervisor was there every evening with his wife, Heather, was out there just making those things happen. And I didn't get upset. As the Air Force is starting to transfer over to this, or making a shift to those standards, the standard readiness review. And I'm like, man, that's part of it. That's part of it. And if you hold me to a standard, you write me an LOC, you write me an LOR, that's minuscule to me. You know, am I talking about, like, am I super butthurt about that piece of paperwork I got? I'm still honoring that person because he was there for good times and he was there for bad times. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm going to lead you through it. A senior airman, like you said, a tech sergeant, to open that aperture. I find that to be absolutely amazing. Are both y'all married to paralegals?
Yes. Different sections. She works at random.
Both of them retrained paralegals. Yes. As well.
Both of them retrained paralegals. Are you, and you are, I take it, not married to a paralegal?
No, he's security forces.
He's security forces too. Okay.
He'll retrain later.
That's what it's like. Well, shout out to him, because he's probably going to be a paralegal by the time this episode. You know, I'm going to put his package in and see what he's got going on. So we could talk about a lot of different things, but I hope this podcast goes by fast, because we've been talking for the last 48 minutes. Goes by pretty quick, huh? Oh,
yeah.
Because you thought you were in here for about, what, 15, 20 minutes? It usually goes by fast. And I like to have a little bit of fun in the in-betweens as well, as we talk about serious conversations. With that, if you can have dinner with two people, like sometimes it's one, time times five, you get two people and hey, nobody's going to be mad, living or dead, who you having dinner with and why.
That's tough.
Ooh, he said that's tough. And so you answer first, go ahead.
Okay.
First thing that comes to mind.
First person I'd have dinner with is my grandma. She passed away in 14. And I want to have dinner with her, show like how I am, what I've become, my kids, stuff like that. And then, oh my gosh, probably like Teddy Roosevelt or something.
Ooh, man in the arena.
Yeah.
The old Rough Rider.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are good ones.
That's tough.
You gotta go. So no, like when I ask these questions, it's funny enough, I ask this to Chiefs when they come in here when we do our one-on-ones. So I ask this to First Sergeant, I ask this Commanders. And I was like, hey, I'm just getting to know you. I just wanted to understand some of your thought processes in real time.
Yeah.
And you know what? Tomorrow, like a couple months ago, I was getting out of the Air Force. A couple weeks ago, I was getting in the Air Force. The day after that, before that, I was staying in the Air Force. Guess what? We change our minds. Yeah. It's okay. Mm. Things happen. And you're like, oh yeah, why didn't I say this? Or why didn't I say that? Why didn't I have a better answer?
Yeah.
It's not. It's just the answer right now. It's just, we're just on a podcast, just shooting the poop.
I say the first one, Jerry Michelek. He's probably one of the world's greatest shooters. I got to meet him at SHOT Show, but didn't really get to like talk to him. That dude's... his processes in shooting are insane. So that would be like, I'd have like just be screaming to have a conversation with him.
Okay.
Oh, I think I would say the second person, Muhammad Ali.
Okay.
So much adversity, so much push through on top of a great career. I would just want to pick his brain and see how, like when you think resiliency, what that guy had overcome, I think that'd be great to sear into his mind and see how he was able to push himself past those things.
I like to do a podcast with Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
That would be legit.
You couldn't fit it in a 45-minute clip, though. There's no way.
Need a couple of days.
Yeah, that you have to jump
on. Had to been.
Yeah, if that. Yeah. I'd probably be at like a 6-part Netflix series, 2 hours a piece. What about you? You're still thinking about it. Like, she's perplexed.
The first thing I thought of was like 500K or dinner with J. Cole. That's the first thing I thought of.
Jay-Z.
Oh.
No, I'm. Shout out to J. Cole.
Shout out to J. Cole.
J. Cole.
Oh man.
Okay. It's the younger generation. I get it. He's one of the best out right now. You should see how red this crew is right now. Man, you went last.
Yeah.
I really. There's no one that I would just be like, I want to have dinner with, you know.
Nobody. Kobe Bryant.
Kobe.
That's usually a fallback.
That's a good one.
It's like motivated. Like I had a lot of people motivated by Kobe. Jocko.
Talk to Kanye right now.
I'm not. Oh, man. I don't know.
Hey, no, that would be
let's
crazy.
Have a conversation, but no mics. Let's just talk.
No way.
I was like, okay,
this.
Brother?
Yeah. I was like, you all right, man? Man, this is the hardest thing. I went a whole dissertation about
how. He's going to come to me tonight, too. I'm like, yeah.
He should come to you right now. What's the first thing that came to mind?
There was nothing. It was just like blank. Like,
I hold Sergeant Wilson accountable now. He's like, hey, I got some talkers.
I can do another one to give you more time. Red Bear.
Hey, let's go on another. So let's go. How many people we can have dinner before she gets to her first one?
Oof.
All right, Sam Solek.
Okay.
Go.
Who's
Sam Solek? I would, because he is such a kind-hearted person, and the way he is with the fitness community, he takes that as such a humble, like just so graceful the way he like talks to people about fitness. I like it a lot.
I didn't know. So I'm writing that down. I don't know who Sam Solek is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You got a second one? He's a fitness person.
He is.
He's on YouTube or something?
He just competed in bodybuilding. He's on YouTube. He's on YouTube. Yes.
He's a bodybuilder.
Yes.
Okay. Oh my God. I'm like as big as that guy's one arm. So you're a bodybuilder?
Yes.
Aspiring. No.
Aspiring bodybuilder.
Aspiring.
No other thing. No other person.
If I had to go back to family, maybe my grandma. I would say my grandma. If I had to go with like the family route.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, I appreciate you guys being on the podcast. We've been here chopping it up for the last couple of minutes. And again, we talk about leadership stuff. We talk about Air Force stuff. We talk about families, friends, loved ones. Who do we have dinner with? Snake wrangling. A lot of different things. And I appreciate your time and I appreciate the opportunity. Again, this is like no BS. This is one of the best things I get to do all week. And this is the first one we've done in like 3 weeks, right? Since the last time you were here.
Okay.
Quite frankly, that was the last time, last episode. Again, 81 more days in the seat. And shout out to Chief Caleb Vaden, who's going to be taking my spot here in the next, in about 90 days or so. He runs a podcast and I'm pretty sure he's going to keep this thing going. An amazing human being. I can't wait for you guys to meet him.
Awesome.
With that, I'm signing off here. Thanks, teammates. Teammates, thank you for tuning in. For any topics, questions, or guest requests, please shoot me an email or leave a comment below. Thanks for tuning in. As a reminder to all listeners, all topics discussed are unclassified, and the views expressed by our guests and hosts are not necessarily the position of the United States Air Force, the Department of Defense, or any government agency.